When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is March 10th, 2021. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. Lots of exciting things happening for us here on the show today. We're going to take a look at our season preview of the Houston Astros and their win total, which is actually pretty far down from where it's been in years past. We'll talk a little NBA. We're getting ready for the second half of the season. Davis, I know you're getting ready for that as well. And the Hall of Fame in basketball makes their announcement in terms of their finalists. So this is something I would love to talk to you about a little bit later in the show. What's going on?
You know, not a ton going on. In fact, we have such a jam-packed agenda when we were working on our rundown. I didn't even slot in time for us to talk about the Players' Championship happening this weekend. But, you know, I don't think that Bryson is going to win the Players, and he won last week at Bay Hill. So, you know, if Bryson's not going to win, do we even really, you know, need to talk about it? It's like if a tree falls in the woods, but no one's there to hear it. Yeah, love him.
Yeah,
he's my dude.
I think we've been doing the show for almost a month, and... You know, we've done things in the past, like little small things, but now it's like the learning process has happened. It's like golf for Davis Maddock. It is nothing previous to 1990 for Davis Maddock. Like, I'm getting that. And the Kansas City Royals are all very highly touted. Like, you know, I'm learning as we go. It's part of the process here. It took me a while to learn Brett Levy also, but, you know, it's part of what we do here. I'm just hoping to keep you as a co-host because usually I burn everybody else and they leave. So stay with me as long as you can, Davis, at least through the end of the baseball season, if it's possible. So, all right, our headlines here on the show today. We got the NFL and free agency starting next week. So, of course, salary cap things are coming up and we're starting to get a view for who may be on what team. And we found out yesterday that Levante David signed a 2-year deal to go back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I would assume they'll try and run it back and bring everybody back once again. Basketball Hall of Fame announces 14 finalists. Davis was not alive when a lot of these guys were playing. That's okay. He's seen the highlights for sure. I want to go through these here in a minute. The Zags, everyone was panicking last night against BYU. That ended up going well for them. They're going to be undefeated going into the tournament, and they should be the prohibitive favorite. We'll have a in-game live on all of the NCAA tournament days. Unfortunately, I will not be part of those. I've been kicked off the air for a few days. It just happened. I don't know how it happened, but hopefully I still have my job. Yankee Zach Britton's going to have elbow surgery, so we're going to need to figure out who may close if potentially Aroldis Chapman does not. We knew who that would have been last year and Adam Ottavino, but of course they got rid of him. So I suppose Chad Green maybe is the next opportunity there. They really don't have a clear-cut guy. Allen Robinson, franchise tag. Chris Godwin, franchise tag. That doesn't really mean a lot. Guys can still move, Davis, so I would expect that either Allen Robinson or Chris Godwin, or maybe even both, end up on different teams this year.
Yeah, I think Godwin seems like a big favorite to be back on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think Brady wants him there. I think Godwin, you know, obviously they just won a Super Bowl. Mike Evans, another year older. Antonio Brown, another year older. I think Godwin can set himself up pretty nice for a big paycheck after a healthy season. He was banged up, and I think he missed 4 games in 2020, but, you know, was not playing at full health for some of those games when he came back. So missed time with a finger injury and a concussion. So I think he wants to get a 16-game season under his books and set himself up for, you know, a 4-year contract. I'm bummed out for Allen Robinson, who just has played with a laundry list of some of the worst quarterbacks you have ever seen. You know, Foles and Trubisky and Bortles. Like, just this guy has never had above average quarterback play, even going back to his college career playing with Christian Hackenberg. You know, I mean, just this poor guy. Can we get him terrible. A season? Yeah, can we get him a season with, you know, Mahomes or Brady or some? I mean, just come on. I want to see this guy flourish with good quarterback play. You know he wants it.
Yeah. No, he played with Hackenberg at Penn State. Why do I not remember that? Is that true?
When Allen Robinson was a true freshman at Penn State, Hackenberg was his quarterback, and a lot of people think that playing with Allen Robinson is why Hackenberg got those draftable grades. If you go back and look at 2012 Penn State, Allen Robinson led the team 77 receptions, 1,000 yards, and it was McGloin and it was Hackenberg the 2 years that he played there. And Matt McGloin even got drafted based off of playing with Allen Robinson.
I think Matt McGloin may have started a game for the Raiders, if I remember that one.
In the playoffs.
What about that? In the playoffs.
In the playoffs, Matt McGloin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right, so Basketball Hall of Fame, we're going to take care of this at the end of the show. But for me, I mean, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Pierce, Bosch. I think Ben Wallace is a Hall of Famer. I think so. Brett convinced me of that during the whole card buying time last June. So I ended up buying like 200 Ben Wallace cards. None of them looked good when I got them. It was like they were all beat up. I couldn't even send them in. I probably should have sent them in. It doesn't even matter what you send in anymore. It would have been worth something. But I think those three guys are in. You know who I want to see, Davis? Tim Hardaway get in the Hall of Fame. I know you're familiar with his son. Are you familiar with Tim Hardaway?
I know who the original Hardaway is. I can't say I have any strong feelings about his game. The one guy who I do feel pretty strongly about in this list is I think there is going to be pushback on Chris Bosh. He was also nominated last year, but not named a finalist. Yeah. And I feel very strongly that Bosh should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he had some huge moments for both Toronto and Miami. And look, if other players get in Hall of Fames with their careers cut short due to injury, I don't understand why Bosch wouldn't be in that category, too. I mean, you're talking to the wrong guy. I mean, I got Bosch, Howard, anybody in Miami, I'm essentially going to, you know, try and get in the Hall of Fame. So that's my thing there. All right, baseball discussion, of course, is coming up. We're going to take a look at some Cy Young Award odds over on FanDuel. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports. Today, our preview of the Houston Astros season on the over-under of their win total is coming up in about 10 minutes. We're doing one of these per day. We'll have another one tomorrow. I believe we're going to do the Atlanta Braves tomorrow because we could be potentially having a pretty good guest here on the show to talk about them. I think it would be relevant. But for today, we're looking at the American League and National League Cy Young Award, and then we'll get back into our NBA fantasy standouts, NCAA tournament, golf, lots of stuff happening, trying to keep on top of it all. Great time to be a sports fan and be a sports betting fan, sports grid fan. Good time for all of us here. Cy Young Award in the American League. Let's do it, Davis. Here we go. Gerrit Cole, who stands to pitch the most innings in the American League. If he does, he should be the favorite at plus 330 because he'll compile those numbers. Pitch once every fifth day. Yankees can't win without him. Shane Bieber, probably in a similar situation at plus 330 in the Cleveland Indians, although they have Savali and some nice young pitchers, I think, coming strong. Tristan McKenzie as well. Lucas Giolito is 5-1. Another innings eater. We've seen it now for about a year and a half. He's 5-1 on the White Sox, stands to win a lot of games. Glasnow was really interesting. I passed on him a couple times in fantasy. I just couldn't pull the trigger thinking he could be my second best starter, given he's only thrown 100 innings like once in the big league. So Kluber, 35-1. Where did this come from? Taking Corey Kluber 35-1. So, wow, is this really what we're dealing with in the America? This is shocking to me. Bad job by me for not looking at this more intensely here. I mean, doesn't it have to be either it's one of these three guys, or what I need to do is I need to go on FanDuel and find the click anyone else button, because I am not taking Glasnow. I'm not taking Kluber. Dylan Bundy? Where are these names coming from? Is this how bad the American League pitching is?
American League pitching is not great, which is why Cole and Bieber are such significant favorites. And I think you're right. I do think the way to play this is you bet one of Cole or Bieber, whichever one it is. I like Gerrit Cole here. You know, I think the Yankees are obviously going to be better than the Indians. You know, they could win 100 games, I think. And the 20-game winner, you know, that's a huge thing that the Cy Young voters look for. I know that we are not as much in the Neanderthal era of baseball voting, and people are more aware of the advanced metrics and wins not being the best way to evaluate a starting pitcher. But if, you know, you look at Bieber with 13 wins and Gerrit Cole with 22, you know, I think the voters will side with Cole. The reason why I put Corey Kluber on here, though, is if he's healthy, which is like the biggest if of all time, he has the same arguments going for him as Cole, which is he's been a great pitcher in the past. I mean, you don't even have to go that far back to 2017 and 2018, 203 innings of 2.2 ERA ball for Kluber. Then in 2018, 215 innings of 2.8 ERA ball for Corey Kluber. You know, pitches for the Yankees, so should be in line to get a fair number of wins. Now, 35-1, it's a pretty brutal number. As we talk about a lot on the show, the Yankees, super public team, so it's just you're never getting good numbers on the Yankees. There were a couple guys deeper on the list that I thought were interesting. Dylan Bundy, you know, maybe someone like that. But I think that what is interesting about this market is what happens if Cole and Bieber get hurt, right? Pitchers just get hurt all the time. Then does it become Giolito being a huge favorite? But like, I do like to bet deeper Cy Young guys, especially in the AL. I mean, we've seen guys like Rick Porcello win AL Cy Young before. So I do like taking some AL Cy Young stabs deeper down the board.
That's a great example of a guy. Where's Hyunjin Ryu? Like, I would pick him ahead of Giolito, Glasnow, and Kluber. Isn't he going to win a ton of games? I mean, I understand that the metrics have to be part of
it. He's 15-1. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, give me him. Every fifth day, he's got a rubber arm, 170 innings. You know, I mean, winning games by default there. Yeah. I mean, I don't love the pitcher. I'm not taking him in fantasy anywhere, but I could see that. I definitely could see that. I mean, look, you, I think you basically identified the way to do this. One of three things. It's either Cole or Bieber and put them together, pick one, or go long shot. Go 15 to 1, 20 to 1, 25 to 1 and up, I think. I just staggered here to see that this is the best that we have in the American League. But Ryu, I think, who I don't like a lot. And the other thing, too, it's like Jesus Luzardo or just somebody wacko is going to be in this mix at the end of the season. I don't know if it'll be Luzardo in particular. But someone we're not talking about at all is going to be in the American League conversation. Maybe it's Ohtani, you know, like somebody just wacky, in my opinion. All right, NL Cy Young is more definitive for me. I don't need to dive deep here because I do think that we're listing one of the size. Jacob DeGrom is going to be there in the end, barring an injury. He's 1, 2, or 3. Bauer's at 7-1 from the Dodgers. Scherzer is back now, 10-1. He's been the favorite or close to the favorite the last 5 years. Yu Darvish is 12-1, and his teammate Blake Snell is 20-1. I feel really good about taking Darvish and Snell in my labor fantasy team, seeing both these guys back-to-back. As pretty decent options to win the Cy Young. It means like my thinking was right there. So I look at odds a lot for that to see if my fantasy is sort of reality here. But, oh boy, I don't have a fair enough opinion here on this one outside of maybe just going chalk here with DeGrom. I think American League, I'd take a deep dart throw, Davis, and National League, it would be someone that we're talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, again, historically been the case. It's much harder to win NL Cy Young than it is to win AL Cy Young. And there are a couple different reasons for that. The first is no DH. So guys in the NL, they face weaker lineups. They generate more strikeouts. I mean, this has been, for a long time in Major League Baseball, pre-2019, but pre-the super happy fun ball era, just pitching in the National League was worth about half a run in ERA for starting pitchers. So guys in dominant starting pitchers in the NL, just they just struggled far less often, you know, playing in the National League. And then also, you know, DeGrom, Bauer, Scherzer, Darvish, Snell, I mean, these guys are just dominant starting pitchers in a way that, you know, Lance Lynn, Jose Berríos, and Kent Maeda are not dominant starting pitchers, right? They are just better. They have better skills. The two names that I thought deeper down the order in the National League Cy Young that might make some sense. The first was Sonny Gray at 35-1. And then the second was Chris Paddock at 70-1. And I bet not having talked to you about Chris Paddock before, my guess is that you are not a Paddock believer. But if he was able to get the innings pitched, he has so much velocity. And with the designated hitter now gone again in the National League, I think that Paddock could get to, you know, 160 innings pitched, especially if the Padres are really pushing the Dodgers and they think they have a chance to win that division. I think that would make them more likely to push Paddock in terms of innings. And if he ends up with the best ERA of Snell, Darvish, you know, all the great starting pitchers that the Padres have, and they win that division, 70-1 did just seem a little bit too low. But I really believe in Paddock skills, and, you know, not everyone really believes in Paddock skills.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not that I don't believe in the skills. I don't know if the Padres believe strongly in him now that they've signed three more guys in 2021. But it'll be an interesting dynamic. And again, he's got to get to 150, 160 innings, and he could do that. But that's a fair name, I think, in the National League to throw out as a possibility. Also, look, let's not forget Strasburg, Corbin. Those guys are one, you know, 3 month period away from winning a Cy Young. I mean, they have that ability to do it. They're playing on a good team. And I'm not saying both of them have a shot, but, you know, one of them could certainly. I wouldn't discount those as well. All right. The Houston Astros in I would say, a much better spot than they were a year ago. A year ago, we sat here and all we did was talk about the cheating scandal and the firing of the manager and the firing of the general manager and how are they going to do in 2021. It kind of feels like that's behind us a little bit. But their season win total is under 90 for the first time in a while. So at least from a FanDuel perspective, Las Vegas perspective, the thought process is,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
The Astros won't be as good. We'll take a look at their team, their lineup, their pitching staff coming up here on Fantasy Sports Today in just 2 minutes. So make sure you stay on the grid. We'll be back with a whole lot more. And David and I are going nowhere. 12 to 2 Eastern. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mitch, Davis Maddock here with you on Sports Grid. The Houston Astros were the focus of all of spring training 2020, January, February, into March, simply just because of the cheating scandal. I remember going to a game at their spring training home last year, and basically the fans were heckling, yelling back and forth, and nobody wants to see that. I'm happy that's kind of over with. Look, they're going to have that World Series championship, Davis, for sure. No doubt about that. But they took a significant step back last year in the 60-game season. Also, keep in mind, Justin Verlander got hurt. They did not have Yordan Alvarez. Their main key players, Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, did not play particularly well. Neither did Alex Bregman. I think the mental aspect of this really just crushed them. So that's kind of the way that I saw their season. I'm kind of giving them a mulligan there. But they do have a lot of changes on the team, and it does kind of lead people to wonder out loud if in 2 years the Astros decide, Davis, to do exactly what they did 10 years ago, which is tear it down, lose for 4 or 5 years, get those draft picks back, and start over again. I don't think they're there yet, but it seems to be kind of approaching that here.
Yeah, I definitely think that we are approaching that. And the Astros are just a very fascinating team in general because it's so hard to evaluate their players. I mean, you know, which guys were helped by the cheating and which guys are just really good baseball players. Like, you know, we got some evidence of that stuff last year, and for other guys we didn't. And then also you go back to, well, it was still just 60 games, and a 60-game sample overall is not really that representative in baseball the way that we know. I mean, some stats don't stabilize for 500 plate appearances. Some stats don't stabilize for 1,000. So, you know, I do feel with the Astros in some ways we are kind of flying blind.
All right, let's take a look at their lineup in 2021, and this could obviously change. And again, it's changing right now. We're seeing Miles Straw lead off a little bit. He's a key name we're going to talk about here. But we got Jose Altuve leading off, followed by Alex Bregman. Michael Brantley is third. Correa listed fourth here. I've seen Alvarez hit cleanup in some games too, so Correa could hit fifth. Uli Gurriel seems to be pretty solid. Kyle Tucker's also a key name to circle because he's finally going to get the opportunity this year, I would think, to get 500 plate appearances. Maldonado bats eighth, and then Miles Straw, at least for the time being, bats ninth, but he could certainly lead off, I would think, for the Astros going into 2021. I also want to mention here that they have some players that are entering their final year and their final season there. Altuve's coming to the end. Carlos Correa is coming to the end, Davis. And we're going to hear from Alex Bregman coming up. But like in particular, how do you feel about players that are playing for contracts? Correa was somebody I got for $8 in my last draft. I thought I got a great deal, but not everybody thinks that he is entering a bounce back type season.
Yeah. You know, in terms of guys entering into their contract year, I mean, I don't feel one way or the other about it. There are many different ways it can come. You know, some guys have great years in their contract year. And then, you know, one thing we do see with guys in contract years is they'll play through injury, right? They don't want those missed games on their ledger. And in baseball, playing through injury can really impact your reaction time. You know, hand injuries, not great. Guys who you know, if they have a hurt knee or a hurt ankle, maybe they're not going to steal bases. Maybe it hampers their power. So not something that enters into my analysis all that deeply. But I mean, as it pertains to the Houston Astros, I guess that, you know, it could impact how they choose to dole out playing time.
All right. Well, one player that's worth a focus in fantasy, no question, is Miles Straw, who the previous regime loved. AJ Hinch loved him. Jeff Luhnow loved him. But now it's James Click and Dusty Baker. Miles Straw, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't been into the clubhouse this year, but he used to have a locker right next to Alex Bregman. So Alex Bregman saying that he would like to see Miles Straw get the opportunity should come as no surprise, and that's exactly what he'll say here.
I like it. I mean, he's a great friend of mine. And, yeah, I like how he's working. I like what he's been doing this camp. He's definitely an impressive player. I think a lot of us feel that he has the opportunity to be an all-star at the big league level. So I'm hoping that he does that. And I'm super excited for Miles. Great guy. He's probably the funniest guy on our team for sure.
So it's interesting what happened, Davis, in the labor draft, League of Alternative Baseball Reality Draft. It was such a wreck at the end. It was like a disaster. So I did not throw out Miles Straw's name in the auction because I wanted to get him very late for a buck. It came to me, I couldn't nominate anyone, and they auto gave me Joe Adell, and I didn't fight. And I was just like, whatever, fine. I'll just get him in the reserve round drafts. The reserve round drafts come. My first pick, Chris Bassitt, I wanted Miles Straw. I'm just like, whatever, it's fine. Just give me whoever it is. I want to get this draft over with. I'm looking back now and thinking I should have fought. I probably should have fought and fought for this. Now, a number of things can happen here, Davis. He could be Billy Hamilton. He's in the first couple of years, which would be fine, right? 250, 50 steals, mm-hmm. 70 runs, league winner. He could also be Duggar on San Francisco. I don't know if you're familiar with him. A couple of years ago, he was named the opening day center fielder for the Giants. He led off for exactly 12 days, then batted eighth, and then was done in the minor leagues. I don't know which way this is going to go, but if you're asking me from a fantasy perspective, he should be drafted way higher than he is right now. There's 50 or 60 names that are being taken ahead of him who are not going to win your league no matter how good they are. And this guy can. So I don't know what the outcome would be, but I think that he's being way overlooked right now.
I mean, look, if you can't hit, you can't hit. And major leaguers who can't hit don't stay major leaguers for very long. Straw put together some decent years in minor league baseball, you know, hit over 300. His last stop at AAA in his major league career in over 224 plate appearances, he's hitting 246 with an OBP of 327. An OBP of 327 is not what you want from your leadoff hitter, but if he really is, you know, like a 90% steals guy, the Astros can probably live with it. He's only 26 years old, so again, you know, still heading to that prime age in terms of Major League Baseball prime. And I'm totally with you. A guy who can steal 50 bases and not hit like 220. I mean, you just want those guys on your fantasy teams, even if he has like little to no power. We talked about this with Nick Madrigal the other day. But like, for example, mm-hmm. I would rather have Straw than Madrigal because Madrigal will steal some, but he's not going to steal like Straw will steal. Now Madrigal is going to hit 310 probably because his hands are so fast. But I think that Straw offers you league winning upside and guys who hit 330 but bat ninth and don't do really anything else, you know, those are not really league winning style players. So I'm with you 100% of the way. Miles Straw, want him on my teams, think he has crazy upside, think he should start the year leading off, and think that this will be a pretty solid lineup behind him, you know, to drive him in, which you definitely need for leadoff guys like Miles Straw.
Yeah, and Alvarez is being forgotten and being drafted way too low also, off not playing for a year. And there is some injury concern, but he's going to be the DH. I think he's in a good spot. Look, Miles Straw is not Juan Pierre. That's doing a disrespect to Juan Pierre, who was fantastic for the Marlins, for the Rockies, for wherever he went. But if Miles Straw is 60% of Juan Pierre, 250, 30 steals, I mean, he's like an undrafted player right now in fantasy. So probably our last shot there. I would also say this. If Straw doesn't hit Davis for 3 weeks, he's done. That's going to be
he's
it.
Done.
They are not going to have a long leash on him. Pitching staff, real quick, let's hit it. Zach Greinke with no Framber Valdez is going to start opening day, followed by Jose Urquidy, Odorizzi, who they just signed off a horrible year. Probably going to be better than that. McCullers, who I've never trusted in fantasy. And then I love Christian Javier, but he is going to be, I don't think Davis, he's pitching more than 100 innings this year, but I love this player. Ryan Pressly will close. Their bullpen is not nearly as good as it has been in the past. So I mean, the pitching is kind of the downside, I think, for them a little bit. Losing Valdez was just huge.
They really needed Framber Valdez. And I, you know, because I have not played loads and loads of fantasy baseball over the years, I'm kind of coming to a lot of this stuff fresh this year, and I don't have, you know, a lot of these biases. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel particularly strongly about any of these Astros starters. The one guy I do feel a nice warm little bias for is Jake Odorizzi, who treated me very well in daily fantasy in 2019 when he was a member of the Twins, really upped his strikeout rate that year, got his ERA down to 3.5. He was a guy who won me a couple nice little tournaments in Major League Baseball daily fantasy. And the one thing that's interesting to me about Jake Odorizzi in the Astros organization is what happens. Will they let him go through the order a third time? Because the Twins were like, yeah, you're out of there, bud. Like, they wouldn't even let him go five innings some of the time. And I wonder if the Astros organizational philosophy will be different, and if he goes deeper into games as a result of that, which obviously would make him a more viable fantasy starter. And they need the innings, right? You just talked about, I mean, they're not only letting Javier go like 100 innings, they need the innings. And Odorizzi, I mean, he's got the arm durability to do it at least.
Yeah, and they have some kids in the minors that are coming, but their minor league system is not nearly as good as it used to be. And I would also say this, there's this narrative that, look what the Astros are going to be able to do with Jake Odorizzi, make him into like a star, because that's what they do with their pitchers. And it very well could happen, but not this year. This dude just signed on the 9th of March. The season starts in less than a month. I mean, any tinkering that's going to have to be done with Jake Odorizzi is going to have to be done in season. It's not an optimal situation. They signed him out of necessity with not having Valdez, at least for the first few months of the season. So I love Odorizzi for 2022, but for 2021, I don't love anyone on the Astros in particular. I can't believe I'm saying that about their pitching, but gone are the days of Framber Valdez and Justin Verlander. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today, right after this. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. Time for us to go through the NFBC either or segment. Take a look at two different players who are being drafted around the same spot in fantasy. We'll go catcher, utility, and go around the diamond here on the show today. And Davis, let's get started with the catcher position. two veterans, maybe both headed to the Hall of Fame. I think that some people think that. It's certainly possible. Buster Posey of the San Francisco Giants, his NFBC ADP is 242, so not being taken in the first 20 rounds of any fantasy draft, more or less back on the at the end. Yadier Molina, 260 overall. We saw some good video the other day of Yadier Molina challenging player on the Astros to steal second base, and he ended up getting him. That was pretty cool. What do you got here, Davis? But Posey, I would think, going into this year, taking a full year off, has got to feel pretty good, feel pretty healthy. Maybe that's why he's going 18 spots ahead of Molina, because just in general, Molina's numbers at this stage of his career may end up being better than Posey's given a full season. But I kind of like the idea of Posey sitting out last year. He did it for the right reasons, too. He had just, I believe, adopted kids or had kids. So it did make sense for him to do that. But he's got to be fresh, feeling good. I haven't heard anything negative about him going into the season. And in terms of Molina, most people feel this is his final year in the big leagues.
Yeah, so I'm going to side with Buster Posey here. The projections for these guys are pretty close. Posey, about 10 home runs, should hit about 270, most likely, you know, not playing for a great offense. So probably not going to drive in a ton of runs, probably not going to score a ton of runs. But Yadier Molina's numbers have really cratered over the last couple of years, you know, hitting the projection systems have him hitting about 250, four home runs and 156 plate appearances last year. The Cardinals also kind of like this guy, Andrew Kanizer, not exactly sure how you say it. He's 26 years old, hit for a decent amount of power his last season in AAA. They think he's decent behind the dish. And, you know, the Giants also have Joey Bart, who does not appear like he's going to be on the major league roster starting the season. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, which I said was ridiculous. But Posey also can play first base. I think they will play him at first base a lot of the time against left-handed starting pitching to get Brandon Belt out of the lineup so they can go full righty against those left-handed starting pitchers. So I think Posey probably gets 100 extra plate appearances over Yadier Molina. And Molina is not, you know, enough of a better hitter for me to think that he can overcome that gap. So I'm going Buster Posey here.
Yeah, I'm going to do that for some of the reasons that I illustrated. You see his numbers. Those were for 2019 because he opted out last year. And I do think that Molina probably puts together a good year. He's also spent some time on the injured list over the last couple of years as well. And I think the Cardinals are sort of built for the postseason. I see more days of rest, and which you would never say about Molina, but I think that that is happening this year. I'll take one final shot at Posey, who also can play some first base as well. Okay, now over to the utility spot. Two players that don't seem to have a starting role on their teams being drafted more or less in terms of the same 23rd, 24th, 25th round. John Birdie of the Miami Marlins, who stole a ton of bases last year for them, even in a utility spot. Garrett Hampson, who showed some power, has showed some promise, but I'm not so sure that they're going to give him an opportunity to play. They've played McMahon over him. I think Brendan Rodgers is going to get to play third base this year. They're talking about Hampson playing some center field, but Tapia is there as well. So, Davis, this is an interesting one here, because in the end, I could see Hampson getting more plate appearances, but do you think that those plate appearances lead to better numbers for him at the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, you know that I'm going to go with Garrett Hampson here, who's got a little bit of speed, a little bit of power, and obviously that power is going to be aided by playing his home games at Coors Field. And this is just my napkin math on positions and guys that Hampson could take at-bats from. I think he should be able to take at-bats from Sam Hilliard in center field against left-handed starting pitching. I think he should be able to get some plate appearances away from Ryan McMahon against left-handed starting pitching. I think that he should be able to take plate appearances away from Brendan Rodgers if he is just performing better than Brendan Rodgers. And then, you know, we still do have to account for the small chance that the National League adds DH at this point. I mean, which sounds crazy because we're so close to the start of the year. But if we remember from last year, the expanded playoffs got added like overnight, 4 days behind, but like before the season started, you know, they were totally flying by the seat of their pants. I think the chances are low, but it's like, you know, 20% or so. And I think that Hampson will be better per plate appearance. He plays in a better ballpark. He has a slightly better path to playing time. So if I think he's slightly better than Birdie and plays in the better offensive environment, and I think their plate appearances are roughly similar, I got to go Hampson.
Yeah, tough call for me here. If I thought Hampson was going to play and start, I definitely would go with him. I kind of know what Birdie has to offer, and I don't think they're going to play him every day. So I'll side with you. I'll go with Hampson on this. We're sort of two for two. But I think Birdie is not even a poor man's Hampson. I think he could put up the same numbers. And if either Ehson Diaz or Jazz Chisholm or both struggle, maybe Birdie gets 50 starts at second base this season. And if he did, that would change my mind for sure. All right, let's close it out here with a little starting pitching. We have Corey Kluber, who by all accounts looks really good for the Yankees thus far. But, wow, his numbers were not good over the last couple of years, that's for sure. An ERA pushing 6 with a whip of 1.6. Couldn't even get a 2-year deal from anyone. The Yankees gave him a 1-year deal. And then Andrew Heaney in perpetuity, every year hoping for really good numbers, every year showing 6 or 7 good starts in a row, and then something happens. Pretty much the story with him. Didn't really happen in last year. Actually pitched pretty well. His ADP is 203. The Angels are going to use a 6-man rotation. Maybe that will work, Davis, because they have never been able to keep their pitchers healthy, ever. So maybe this is the secret sauce, having Heaney only make 21 starts instead of 27. Who do you got here in terms of either or, Kluber or Heaney?
Yeah, so I think I gave my answer to this one away in our earlier segment talking about Cy Young, but I think that the potential chance of Corey Kluber recapturing that magic from 2017 and 2018 has to lead me here, because even in Heaney's best case, so Heaney is a left-handed starting pitcher who probably is not going to go that deep into games, who probably is not going to start that many games, who has had some decent strikeout stuff, but has never had, well, the last time he had an ERA below 4, it was all the way back in 2015 in 105 innings. I mean, just the fact that Kluber could recapture some of that Cleveland magic has to have me leaning towards him, because if these guys get hurt or if they're bad, you just cut them, right? You cut them, you bid on whoever on Fab, you pick up, you know, a speculative guy, you pick up a setup guy, wait for some saves to work on your ratios. But Kluber can be a league winning style guy if he's healthy. And if, you know, I don't know whatever happened, to his pitch mix that led him down that the long and winding bad road. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely on Kluber here.
Yeah, this is close for me, because I wonder with Kluber, if things don't go well at the beginning, what would happen for him? It's like a player that, what if he, Davis, has a 5.5 ERA in May? What would they do? Like, would the Yankees pull the plug on this thing? It has me a little bit worried. I don't like either pitcher going into the season, but I'm going to go against it here. I'm going to go with Heaney. I think he stays in the rotation the whole year. I know that Kluber has the upside of a potential Cy Young Award winner, but I don't know. Something about it makes me think he's done. I'll probably be wrong, and I'll have a good year. But I think I'll opt on the other side here. I'll go with it. And I don't love Andrew Heaney either, but I think that's the direction I'm going to go here. But Davis, when you're this at this stage of the draft, I suppose it's okay to throw a dart. You should have, I would say, in a 12 or 15 team league, 4 starting pitchers, right? Before you get to these guys, like, you shouldn't be at the point where this guy is your 3, right? Is that fair? Like, they're 4 or 5?
Yeah, I mean, in Roto, theoretically, you would like to have 4 guys who you feel pretty confident that you're not going to cut if they start poorly, right? So you would, if they're healthy and just having bad results, you would like to not have to cut them. Now, obviously, that's not great for your ratios, and you'll have to spend a lot of the season trying to make up some of those disaster starts. But you don't want to put yourself in a position where of your 9-man pitching rotation, 3 of them probably are going to be relievers, guys you're hoping to get saves from. Maybe 1 or 2 are setup guys for ratios, and then 5 or 6 are starting pitchers. You don't really want your 3rd starting pitcher to be a guy like Andrew Heaney, who might just get blown up in a random start against the Rangers and then leave that game with elbow soreness. And then you're like, well, what do I do? Do I throw him back out again?
Right.
Do I cut him? Do I bench him? You don't really want to be putting yourself in that scenario. You'd like these guys to be mostly speculative investments and not holds.
By the way, have you taken Ohtani in a league yet? How do you feel about him going into the season? Any interest?
Yeah, I mean, I only care about upside when I draft for the most part, you know, especially after like pick 100 or so. So Ohtani, depending on your league's rules, you know, either I think has upside to be this insanely good starting pitcher with his, because he has the fast stuff and the slow stuff, and when he's good, he can command both. And then obviously, if your league rules allow you to play him as both, I mean, it doesn't really have to be explained to people why having a guy who could be a 3.8 ERA pitcher and a 20 home run outfielder or DH, why that would be good. I mean, if in a good season for Ohtani, like, let me put it this way. If Ohtani plays 145 games, pitches 15 times, he's an MVP candidate, because that means he's healthy and that means that he's pitching good and that he is batting well. And I mean, have we ever seen a player do that in Major League Baseball? Like,
no,
Babe Ruth, maybe. Like, it's never happened. That guy would be an MVP candidate.
I would think so. Let me ask you something. Is it unreasonable to ask how it's possible that we were able to have scientists and companies produce a vaccine in less than a year to potentially eliminate a pandemic, but we have not been able to have fantasy sites figure out a way to have Ohtani both as a pitcher and a hitter? Am I missing something here with that or no?
I mean, it is, of all things about fantasy baseball that frustrates me the most, I mean, we have multi-position eligibility for guys like Ryan Mountcastle, first base and outfield. Why can't you just put Shohei Ohtani pitcher / outfielder / util? And when you want to start him as a pitcher, you start him as a pitcher. And when you want to start him as a hitter, you start him as a hitter. It feels like the simplest thing on earth. And the fact that NFBC, ESPN, CBS, Yahoo, that they can't figure this. I mean, it, of all the things about fantasy baseball that mystify me, this is the thing that annoys me the most. And I know that it's a player ID issue, because when he came in, they made him two separate guys. They made him a pitcher and they made him an outfielder. And they just have used that as like the legacy system to denominate him going forward. But it blows my mind, because I would love in fantasy baseball to just be able to log in to NFBC, take Shohei Ohtani in the 12th round and use him as both, because I would take him in every draft. And the fact that it's a confusing system with him, this really grinds my gears. Like, this is something that actually makes me mad.
Yeah, I don't understand it. And by the way, year one, I think all of these things are acceptable. We've never dealt with that before. But now that we have, it's been years. Like, this couldn't be, there couldn't figure out an algorithm in the last 6 months to make this work. We're just going to go with what we did. It just doesn't add up for me. All right, coming up next, speaking of the Basketball Hall of Fame, there's another player who's currently playing in the NBA that probably will end up being there. But the question is he a first ballot guy? We'll talk about that next, by the way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back. Later on in the show, Davis and I in Fantasy or Reality are going to discuss the potential NBA Hall of Famers. It's actually the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame. I should make sure I quantify that. But Davis, it's been a great year for Chris Paul, no doubt, with the Phoenix Suns. And he's kind of reinvented himself now a couple of different times on a couple of different teams. No question about that. I think that we probably would agree that he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And I suppose the only question is that when he is eligible, and I don't think this is probably not going to be his last year. He's probably going to play five more years, I would guess. But when he is eligible, would he be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is the book closed on that discussion yet, or could he change people's minds? I think that he is a Hall of Famer, and I think that he is maybe a first round Hall of Famer, but I think that 3 or 4 years more in the league, it would be a definitive yes for me.
Yeah. So depending on who you talk to, Chris Paul is, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh best point guard ever based off of, you know, what he has accomplished. He is kind of the advanced metrics god in terms of point guards. Like he doesn't turn the ball over. He is super efficient with his shooting, even though he loves the mid-range game. And I think that kind of like Steve Nash, he'll be able to play later into his career because he is such a good shooter. Like when this big contract he is on expires, it would not surprise me to see him kind of go Steve Curry even, you know, and be like the ninth man on some really good teams. I think that he's probably not a first ballot Hall of Famer though, because guys who never won NBA championships, the voters just don't go for it. Regardless of their regular season accomplishments, if you haven't won a championship or an MVP, you know, it's very hard. But I think that he should be, and I've really changed my tune on Chris Paul. I used to kind of be a hater, but I am team Chris Paul as a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Are you, where's Carmelo for you then? Carmelo is not a first for you?
Gotta be, because college stuff, he's gotta be first.
Oh, that's
ballot.
Right. Because I keep, you know, I just mentioned it and then I forgot it again. Yes, that's right. Incorporating college. That's why I think Richard Hamilton is also a Hall of Famer. I mean, all the great times that he had at UConn, I don't get why he's not in there. But all right, coming up next, it's time for us to take care of our headlines. Also, Chris has the update, so stay on the grid. Be right back.